In the EU member states and many other states, we all have a fundamental right to freedom of religion. The religions and confessions must be treated equally. It's obvious that also religious prisoners can practice their religion as long as other prisoners, and in particular the institutional safety and order, are not affected. Religious practice must be interpreted broadly. That includes worship, individual or group conversations, prayers, meditations, etc. We think that spiritual welfare is an important tool against radicalization. This is primarily to combat religious radicalization, but also extreme left and extreme right-wing radicalization. Also exit programs for political radicalized prisoners, but now we talk about the religious counseling. By a sufficient external support and sufficient opportunities for own religious practices of the prisoners, radicalization can generally be reduced, and in particular, religious radicalization can be countered, for example, by clarifying or unmasking incorrect mixing of religion and ideology. In particular, the Islamic imams support prevention and de-radicalization when they question and discuss radical views of extremist prisoners. They can affect radical beliefs and their dissemination by religious beliefs. Radicalization is a problem of the whole society that can escalate and spread, particularly in prisons. But here, in the prisons, it can be fought specifically. In November 2015, the Europlus Radicalization Expert Group had its first meeting right here in Vienna. The next meeting was in April 2016 in Barcelona. The expert group worked out various subjects and found out that the subjects' risk assessment tools, chaplaincy, and identification of radicalized offenders should have priority. So we built three subgroups. Dr. Julio Zeno and I have chaired the sub-working group chaplaincy, and we prepared universal rules for prison chaplaincy and de-radicalization. These rules, you can read it in your handout at page 270. All of them have these rules with you. First of all, we have the general principles, which are nothing absolutely special. All prisoners have to be treated with respect of the human dignity and their fundamental rights, taking into account their specific situation and their individual, even religious, needs. At the same time, the general public has to be protected effectively from criminal acts. No man or woman loses his or her God-given dignity. A part of reasonable treatment in prisons is the offer that all prisoners may have contact with the chaplaincy service of their religious community and receive assistance. Prisoners should also have the right to hold religious objects in their cells pertaining to their specific faith, as long as these objects cannot be dangerous for the prisoners, the prison staff, or the public. The state is neutral and must not favor any religious group or denomination. Nevertheless, the state and its prison service must guarantee the prisoner's right to religious assistance, but no prisoner should be forced to practice religion against his intention or to receive unsolicited proposals of religious care during his or her stay in prison. All prisoners are entitled to participate in religious services and celebrations of their own faith and other religion or confession. This right may be restricted only for overriding reasons of security. Then we have the special rules. Religious care is an element of deradicalization in prison. are several forms of religious care within prisons. That means religious service, one-to-one or group meetings, celebrations or religious festivals, or otherwise it's left to the religious communities or denominations to decide. A moderate and tolerant religious care is particularly important to help to prevent all forms, especially religious forms, of radicalization. A widespread religious offer helps to decrease radicalization and increases the possibilities to recognize and to combat radicalization. Moderate and tolerant religious care allows voluntary relationships to be built between the chaplains and prisoners, even inmates vulnerable to radicalization. This reduces the influence of other possibly radicalizing forces. Prison chaplains contribute to the cohesion of community by promoting encounters and dialogues between people with different religions and cultures, and can strengthen dialogues between different faiths. Thus, the religious care reduces cleavage phenomena such as political or religious extremism. Prison chaplains promote also tolerance within their own religious group and with the other social groups. It is very important that moderate prison chaplains are carefully selected in order to promote a moderate and tolerant religious care. Before starting pastoral work, a chaplain must tolerate a security check on his own person. It is also important that prison authorities inform new chaplains about prison regulations and that may affect them. Moreover, in each prison, there should be a staff member to act as the coordinator between the prison management and the chaplains of the different religions and denominations. Moreover, in each prison, certain staff members should be assigned to carry out functions of coordination and reference to chaplains of different religions and denominations. In order to select a chaplain, prison authorities need the support and endorsement of the appropriate external religious community. The prison chaplains should use, as far as possible, the official language of the country. It must be recognized that certain religious rituals may require the use of their perceptive language. All prison chaplains commit themselves in particular to equality between men and women. Women's rights are human rights. Prison chaplains must be capable and ready to detect the tendency towards radicalization of prisoners, and they must be capable and ready to deconstruct the ideologies underlying radicalization. Thus, the mixing of religion and ideology can thereby be shown to the prisoner. Prison chaplains hold in confidence the conversations between themselves and the prisoners. If a prison chaplain recognizes that the contents of a conversation could threaten the security in prison or for the public, they have to inform the prison authorities about the danger. The whole prison staff must be trained in cultural and religious awareness in order to handle the multicultural and religious background of the prisoners in a sensitive manner. This is important because their behavior influences the prison's climate and therefore the own safety and the safety of the prisoners. It would also be desirable that prison authorities designate a person responsible to inform the prison staff about religious and cultural diversity and to answer their queries. The prison chaplains can support prisoners not only in religious matters. This can also apply after release from prison as well for the family of the prisoner. Those are the rules we worked out in the expert group. In Germany, I work for the Ministry of Justice of the federal state Hesse. I cannot speak for whole Germany, but for my federal state and its prison system. In Hesse, we have nearly the Muslim faith. These three groups represent the three largest faiths. In each group, we have about 1,300 prisoners. In Hesse, we built a new network for de-radicalization in prisons called NEDIS, which is active since April 2016. NEDIS is a short form of Netzwerk De-Radikalisierung im Strafvollzug, that means Network for De-Radicalization in Prisons. The network is based on four pillars. First, identification of violent extremism. Second, prevention of radicalization to violence. Third, promotion of disengagement and social reintegration. And fourth, building a network for central coordination and communication. This includes that we have 8 structure observers in our bigger prisons and 1 Islamic scholar in our ministry. In my opinion, the creation of a coverage permanent pastoral offer, especially for Muslim prisoners, is as important as the security measures by NEDIS. The positive experience with the Christian spiritual welfare should encourage us to open pastoral offers to our Muslim prisoners. Of course, the use of religious care is voluntary, so that radicalized prisoners can escape it. But especially for the prisoners with long imprisonment who are religiously radicalized, or could it be, the possibility of participating in regular services, especially but not only Friday prayers and individual or group discussions, is an interesting offer, at least in cases of real religious radicalization. Even there, the chaplain, in this case the imam, comes to the prisoners and learns about radicalization or possible radicalization risk significantly more than the prison staff persons, which prisoners usually trust less. The mediation of religious values for Muslim prisoners by trained and reliable imams comes to a resource socialization promoting effect when prisoners are strengthened not only in the knowledge of the contents of the Quran, but also in the development of its own personality. Violent Islamism is not only an extreme kind of worship, but also a movement of perceived or real socially disadvantaged and educationally disadvantaged populations. I do believe a stronger personality can resist better the polarizing agitation by violent extremists. The caregivers should accompany the prisoners as possible throughout the whole period of their detention. It would be good not to lose the gained confidence by transfers to other prisons. If they like, and it seems to be necessary, the prisoners should be accompanied even after release from prison. Of course, it must be ensured that chaplains and especially imams do not have extremist views themselves, and they should be fully educated Islamic scholars. They must confront the sympathizers and vulnerable prisoners in individual or group discussions, at least the group discussions in our German language, not in Arab, Turkish or another language, with basic issues such as which power potential has the religion? What about the relationship between religion and politics? How literally to understand the Quran? By differentiated Quranic exegesis, confrontation with Islamic law, the prophets and the history of ideas of Islam, there must be developed moderate answers without violence, with and for the prisoners. The target is to counter glorifications of violent as jihadi Salafist or other extremist arguments. Then, religious instruction and worship make an important contribution to our society. Security, 100% safety is impossible, neither in prisons nor outside the prisons. But we think that the widespread pastoral offer is one of the rewarding and indispensable means to minimize religious radicalization, for example by Salafists. The positive experience that we have so far with the Christian prisoners' pastoral care we can fully utilize even with the religious support for Muslim prisoners in order not to become a violent extremist offender. Even if the individual pastoral care in Islam does not have a particular tradition, there is in the issue of pastoral care at the three monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity and Islam, no significant difference. Of course, the mobilization of the pastoral offer is voluntary, but the selection of imams we make ourselves, and thus we increase the dynamic security. We cannot say how much acts of violence inside and outside the prisons were prevented by successful means of religious care. But if, while fulfilling the fundamental right to freedom of religion, even one single terrorist attack was prevented by it, it was worth it. In Catalonia, our Catalonian friends have partially similar ideas. That's why my friend Dr. Julio Zino is here. So thank you, Zino, and thank you for everybody.
Morning. Thank you very much for the invitation to play in here the Catalan experience in the Faith Chaplaincy approach to the radicalization. It's not important. My presentation. I work in the penitentiary Catalan system since 1987. First as social worker, and since 2002 in the Directorate General of Prisons, as responsible of programs about religion, diversity, immigration, etc. Catalonia is one of the autonomous communities in Spain. The particularity of Catalonia is that since 1984, the management of the prison system has been assigned to the Catalan administration. In our system, there are nine closed prisons, and three open prisons, and an important probation system. The total of inmates actually is 8,500, and the percentage of inmates Spanish and foreigners are 56 and 43. Within this group of foreigners, the greatest population of minorities, the Moroccan, about 15%. Our system is in renovation of equipments. This is the newest prison in Catalonia. It's Mas Enric near Tarragona city. One of the particularities of the system in Catalonia is that in Spain, any terrorist action must be investigated by the Central Court in Madrid. And when they are condemned, prisoners remain in prisons outside of Catalonia. And for this reason, in Catalan prison, there are not a significant number of offenders by terrorist crimes. But Catalonia is an important zone of detection of radicalism. Terrorist attacks in Las Cobos are an emerging episode of this situation. There are very young people living in a small city, educated since early age in the general and a guide to respect the diversity of beliefs in business. What about religious chaplaincy in prison? There are 387 persons, chaplains and volunteers of different religions allowed to enter in the Catalan prisons. Our department has agreement for religious assistance in prison with funding with Catholics, Evangelicals, and Muslims. Each prison assigns a member of its staff as interlocutor, and they organize procedures to facilitate the access of inmates to chaplains. And we have, as general direction, regular meeting with representatives of the religions that act in prisons to expose interests and exchange views. We do also different actions to raise awareness of the value of cultural religions diversity for the staff. We do training courses and workshops in different cultures, diversity of beliefs, and radicalization topics. We have prepared and published a guide for the respect of the diversity of beliefs in prisons that we split among staff. We promote actions for the cooperation and exchange between confessions and chaplains. For example, some religions have promoted a stable working group on religious assistance in prisons. And we prepare for next year an open work session on the role of religions in rehabilitation with the participation of all the faiths that act in our prisons.
This is the
you want. This is the guide that we prepare for the staff, for our staff. It's not for inmates, it's for the staff. You can obtain the digital edition in this link, and you can see it's in Catalan, but I think that the idea is interesting. We do also other activities to make prisoners aware of the value of cultural and religious diversity. Since 2004, due to the growing up of foreigners in our prisons, we organize activities to promote exchange and the interrelation between inmates. We have in each prison an intercultural mediation service that allow to attend personal or group particularities and to promote the common ground of values, beliefs, thoughts, and feelings. Members of our staff imparts an intercultural education program based in intercultural group of prisoners where they are subjects and actors of the actions. An UNESCO association guided by the department lead interreligious dialogue group for inmates. And they do also other activities to spread the knowledge of the diversity, cultural and religious. The group of chaplains in prisons organize each year an ecumenical and interface meeting in prison, and this picture is after the act, after the meeting, they plant an olive tree as symbol of the peace in a prison. Over this background, we are working on a program. This program to prevent radicalization in prison. There are two axes. One is the axis of the detection, and the other the axis of the prevention. One is the axis of the security, and the other is the axis linked as the area of the rehabilitation in prison. The actions detection are actions of coordination between security service outside and inside the prisons. There are a workbook between police and prison that there are in continuous exchange of information, and they do training for the staff of security for doing the detection. But I don't think about this part of the program. I speak about the prevention, the social, educational, and psychological actions to deal with radicalization. The name of this program in Catalan is ARREL, and in English means roots. We put this name as a key name for not using in public name against radicalization or that we speak as the root program, we say. And it's a program in construction. The program is produced in all types or kinds of radicalization, not only the radicalization associated to the Islamic religion. For us it's important because the writing put people in one unilateral vision, no? Only the violence is only linked with the religion and one religion, but we have a lot of situations, potentials or real of radicalization and violence. The program has a transversal approach integrated in the already existing offer of rehabilitation programs and actions. And the elaboration of the program is participated with the staff of one young offender prison and one men adult prison. The first is we have 300 inmates, and the adult prison have 700 inmates. The guidelines of the ARREL program, the roots, are first the difficulty of predicting the process of radicalization, and we prefer to work with the personal vulnerability and risk. Second, we work in the reinforcement of preventive action. It's a preventive program. We don't have absolutely the problem of offenders for crimes, violent crimes, or terrorist crimes. And third, Third, we consider that in all radicalization processes are present three elements: the personal vulnerability and influenceability, the absence of protective factors or social factors, and the presence of an extremist ideology or an radicalizing influencer. The program acts over these three elements with different kinds of actions: educational, psychological, and social. For us, it's important to do a dynamic detection. Dynamic detection for us is similar to dynamic security. It's a detection and assessment of personal vulnerability and risk through a continuous mentoring or tutorial actions. Our system, one of the basic bases of our system in Catalonia, is the tutorial action. We do this before this program. We have experience with this methodology, but the use in this context needs important adjustments and staff training, because for this program it's necessary a trust relation between prisoners and mentor, because this is a key point of this methodology. Also, it's very important the social support that acts over the absence of protective factors. We work with families and with the context, the social context of the offenders, and we participate in a European project, EDS, that works in this line. It's important to offer alternatives to both the weak points of view and conflict narratives. And in this role, it's important the use of the different programs that we commend before: the Intercultural Liaison Service, the Intercultural Education Program, the Interreligious or Interconvictional Dialogue Group, and the promotion